As I continue this morning in the series that I began some time ago about what it means to be a fully committed Christian, we come to the aspect of that characterization of courage. And we'll be in Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39 this morning. In that passage, Paul tells the Romans why they should push forward to victory. It is the same message he delivers to those followers in Corinth. In the second letter to Corinth, Paul wrote that God always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That image was very familiar to the Romans, because the Romans understood what happened when their conquering heroes returned back to Rome. Crowds would applaud as the winning general would ride his matching team of horses through the streets of Rome. They would have all of the trophies that they had brought back, the slaves and the treasures of foreign lands. And as he came into the city and the crowds applauded the fact that he was bringing back this treasure, they would burn incense and spices in celebration, filling the air with the scent of victory. The fragrance of victory. Think what that means to a Christian. The fragrance of victory. Jesus, when he was on the cross, had an anointing that I believe that was still with him. You may remember a few days before his death on the cross, they anointed his head with oil, a very expensive perfume. I believe that while he was on the cross, he could smell the fragrance of love that had been poured out upon him. And we as Christians can smell the fragrance of his love in many events in our lives today. Wherever we go, we carry that same fragrance of triumph with us. This attitude is one of a fully committed believer, that even when we face bumps in the road, we learn that climbing the bumps enables us to climb the mountains that we face every day. When we face adversity and loss with courage, it is a courage that draws its strength and its power from God. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, there are those of us who speak many tongues, who have come to this place speaking Japanese and English and Spanish, and all kinds of languages are here present in this room. Some people speak multiple languages, but Father, the language that we want to hear today is the language of love from your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will speak to each of our hearts in a language that we can understand, that you will touch us and heal us of our infirmities, that you will cast away our sins into the sea of your forgetfulness, that you will show up here in a mighty, tangible way to touch the hurts, empower those who are weak, and give a sense of victory to everyone in this room. Father, I know that my words could never conjure up the great and glorious victory we have in Christ Jesus. I am a crooked stick. So, Father, cast out my words and speak in your language to your people, that every ear and heart may hear what the Spirit would say to you today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you turn with me now to Romans, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are stirring words. The words of Paul, who was talking to the Romans about the love of Christ. They may have been separated by many things. They have been enslaved and taken away from their families. And he is speaking to those who were ripped from the bosom of their families and saying, you shall never be separated from the love of God. Amen. He was speaking to those who had been separated from power, because in one country where they had lived, they had position and power. But once they were enslaved by the Romans and taken back to Rome, they had a reversal of fortunes. They no longer had the power that was a separate part of their life. And he was saying to them, as he's saying to those of us who've lost our jobs, who've lost our position in life, who have lost our youth and vitality, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. Paul wants to know who is going to do such a thing. Who will separate us? During Paul's life, he had witnessed many examples of persecution by leaders. He himself was a tool of persecution. You remember that as he was on his way to Damascus to persecute some Christians, Jesus, in a bolt of light, knocked him from his mount and said to him, why persecutest thou me? Paul was a persecutor. He had held the coats of those who had stoned Stephen. Paul knew the power that was used by the persecutors, by the leaders of his country and the leaders of his religious faith to persecute one another. He knew that firsthand. He had seen both sides of the struggle. He had been the instrument of death and pain, and he had been the recipient of the same things. In 1 Corinthians, he spoke about this in chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. When he accounted for the people of Corinth, the various ministries that he had undertaken and the price that he had paid, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, more above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I've received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul knew something of persecution. He knew that he had been persecuted, but it had never separated him from the love of God. In the Greek language, the word who can also mean what. And in these words that we have read, Paul speaks not of people in verses 35 through 39, but of circumstances, which leads most modern scholars to understand that the word should have been translated what. What shall separate us from the Word and the love of God. The first threatening circumstance is tribulation. This word often means being squeezed out of something. Have you ever felt squeezed out of life? You feel squeezed out of your job? It is a word that they often used for the wine press, that they used for the olive press. Jesus was in tribulation in the olive garden there at Gethsemane, and he was squeezed out until his blood came through the pores of his skin. He was compressed. He was squeezed out for us. Have you ever felt compressed in your life? Have you ever felt like the weight of the world was squeezing all of the enthusiasm and joy and happiness out of your life? Have you ever felt like the circumstances that came against you seemed to weigh you down and keep you from doing the things you enjoyed doing just weeks or days ahead? Paul says that even that kind of squeezing, that tribulation, all the weight of the world on your back will not separate you from the love of Christ. That's good news. Nothing can separate you. Not tribulation. Nothing can squeeze the love of Christ from us. His love overflows us and continuously fills us. The more we're pressed down, the more we're pressed into the arms of Christ. Tribulation is sometimes faced with weakness and people run from it. But we are to face tribulation with courage. A courage that comes from the knowledge that Jesus Christ is our strength. The next word he uses is distress. This word in Greek means being put through a narrow space. To be conformed to a place and squeezed into it in a way. As though you were wearing shoes that were two sizes too small. My wife came back from a wedding yesterday and she said, "My feet hurt." Her shoes had hurt her feet. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like you were being pressed into a job or you were pressed into a classroom where you just didn't seem to fit? Maybe it was math. Some of you are already behind in math. School just started. You feel like I have nothing to do with math, and math has nothing to do with me. But we get compressed by circumstances in our life. Paul says that those circumstances that compress us and try to reform us into the shape of the world cannot separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Not distress. Persecution is the third word he uses. This word means to be pursued or chased down. A word that is used for people to be captured and put into bondage. Some of you feel persecuted. You feel like you're being chased. Sometimes Satan is in full gear chasing me down every day. And I can feel his breath on my back. And when I was in high school, I was not a fast runner, but I could run the half mile fast enough because I sprinted the whole way. I couldn't run and then kick at the end. I was not tall enough. My legs were too short. I just didn't have what it took to run a traditional race. And so I ran just as hard as I could, as fast as I could, as far as I could. And sometimes I would get 30 or 40 or even 50 yards in front of the pack that was behind me. But as I turned that round, that last corner, they'd begin to catch up and I could feel them chasing me, gaining on me. People in the stands who liked me would be screaming, "Yes, run, run." And sometimes I made it first and sometimes I didn't. But I could feel the heat of people chasing me. You feel that chasing in your life? Persecuting you, trying to come and capture you. Sometimes in a spiritual sense, all of us have probably gone through times where we feel we have been persecuted. We've been just chased down by events. We've been chased down, run down, caught and captured. And Paul says that God's love is stronger than those who persecute you. God will give you endurance. The Bible says that we will run and not be weary. We can run all day as long as we're running toward Christ. And who can catch us? Who can catch us? No one. No one can catch us except the one who gives us the strength to run on home. And in his arms, we're gladly caught. Famine is the fourth word that he used, and the word is used many times in the Bible. Usually describes what happens as a result of being chased or persecuted. People are cut off from the ability of making a living because they've been persecuted. They can't stop and make a living. They can't plant their crops. They're chased from one location to another. Perhaps some of you have felt that way. Perhaps some of you have felt that you were chased out of the country, out of the state, out of the city. You've been chased. And because you were on run, you couldn't stop and make a living. That's what this word famine truly means. People cut off from the ability to make a living, which causes hunger and hardship. But even when you face famine, even when you're facing the hardships of life, even when it seems as though everything is going against you and people are chasing you and people are trying to capture you and trying to hurt you, you need to know that the one who is with you is greater than he is in the world. And that if he is for you, no one can be against you. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. Paul goes on, he uses the word nakedness. Now, Paul is not referring to people who walk around nude. He's not worried about people that don't have clothes on. But he is speaking here about the poverty that deprives you of the ability to buy the things you need. The simple necessities of life, just simply to clothe yourself. We have a clothing closet across the street, and we use it every week. And people come, they're not coming here with no clothes on, but the clothes they have are not suitable any longer. They're worn out, and they need new clothing, or clothing that is new to them. Because they have suffered many things, they now suffer from an inability to pay their rent or pay their utilities or buy their food and buy clothing as well. When Paul speaks to these that are naked, he's telling them that even poverty cannot separate you from the love of Christ. For your Father in heaven owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are rich beyond measure because Christ loves you. Next word he uses is peril. You noticed how many times he used it in Corinthians. And the peril of this and the peril of that, it simply means in danger. Paul knew danger well. He was stoned, he was beaten, and finally he was killed. But danger of whatever kind you suffer cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Oh, I know that when we have facing danger of cancer or heart disease, or we face the danger of losing our homes, or we face the danger of being persecuted, or tribulation. When we face those dangers, it is easy for us to try to hide from the fact that we have a Savior who is a champion to all of those who suffer. That He will stand up for you. That He will fight for you. The Bible tells us the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. Even when you're in danger, Christ is with you. And His love is with you. Danger cannot separate you from the love of God. The word sword that he uses next is a Greek word that is not referred to a sword that is used in battle, but one that is used in murder. I have thought long and hard about this because Christians are being killed around the world by murderous thugs in the name of religion. But I will tell you this, that even when the Muslim fanatic puts his knife to your throat to behead you, he cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Amen. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. That's really good news. That's the kind of news that all of us want. Paul talks about these six circumstances in our life, and most of us have faced all six, maybe multiple times. And then we still, by the grace of God, can answer the question, what can separate us from the love of God? Nada! Nothing! Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There was a small boy from Mexico, who lived down in McAllen, just across the border in Mexico. He was 8 years old. And he used to walk across the border every Sunday morning to attend church in the small little Baptist church. One day the pastor was preaching about the cross of Christ, and he asked his congregation a hypothetical question. He said, "Which of you would have had the courage, as Jesus was carrying his cross to Golgotha, to fight your way through the crowds and grab a hold of his cross and carry it for him, knowing that you would be whipped and scorned, that you might suffer the same sufferings that he suffered? Which of you would have had the courage to do such a thing?" And this little boy got up and walked down the aisle with his little hand in the air. And the pastor wasn't sure that he had understood what he said, and so he said, "Habla inglés?" And the little boy said, yes, I speak English very well." He said, "But did you understand that if you picked up the cross of Christ, you might suffer many things? You might be whipped. You might be whipped till you were almost dead if you picked up that cross." And the little boy said, in a voice so loud and clear that everyone could hear, "I would pick up the cross of Christ." The pastor looked at the congregation. He said, "Here is a little boy. The Bible says a little child shall lead us. His passion puts us all to shame. For he is willing, understanding as a little boy can, the cost of carrying the cross, that his love would give him the courage to carry it." Service ended. The pastor was standing outside the doors and shaking hands with people as they went by. And as they went by, he shook their hands, and the little boy came out and he patted the little boy on the back, and the little boy screamed, "Oh!" And the pastor said, "What's wrong?" And he and a couple of the deacons took the little boy into the other room, and they took off his little shirt, and on his back were belt welts. And there were bloody marks where the buckle of the belt had ripped his flesh. And the little boy said, "My mother whips me every time I come to church." That little boy spoke out of experience. His words ring in our hearts. "I will." Knowing that he would go home that day and receive a beating from his mother, one that would tear potentially the flesh from his little tiny back, he was willing to do it for the love of Jesus. The Bible tells us we do all things for the Lord, all things for his glory. And we take whatever comes in the circumstances that we're alive in. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. These things they've done to me, they'll do to you." But the only way we have the courage to stand up and do the things he did was for Christ to come and stand up and live in our lives. There was a man going home with a question on his mind. He had just buried his wife and he had his small children in the car. And he didn't know what he was going to say to his children. They had just put their mother in the ground, and he's driving back home. And suddenly, as he's driving back home, the car shudders as this great big 18-wheeler almost drives them off the road and casts a shadow over them. And the father looked back at the children after the truck had gone, and he said, "Were you afraid?" And they said, "No, Daddy, it was just a shadow." He said, "Children, I believe that that's the way your mother felt, because the Bible says, 'Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.'" That's what gives us the courage to carry on when the shadows are cast into our lives. What shall separate us from the love of God? What separated us? What separated us before he came was our sin and our deprivation. We didn't want God. But because his love was so great, he sent his only begotten Son into the world that nothing should ever separate us again. He loves us. How much does he love us? He stretched out his arms and said, "This much." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You need to have courage to carry on. And a fully committed Christian is one who takes that courage by the throat and believes that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Who believes the promises of God because he knows that God is always with him and that God will never forsake him, never leave him, always be his champion and fight our battles for us. That fully committed Christian knows what it means that God would love me. His love for me. What a statement that is. Knowing that no matter how bad I am, God loves me. If everybody else in the world turns their back on me, God loves me. When I was an actor, I'd speak in front of thousands of people at a time. I didn't like it when people didn't like me. Thankfully, I didn't have to put up with too much of it in the written press because they pretty much gave me a pass or they liked me. But I always was concerned about what they thought. I always wanted to do my best for them. And now I'm in the ministry and I have an audience of one. I only care what he thinks. I only care if I please him. I pray that that is your prayer too. And that you leave this place knowing that no matter whether your performance is good or bad, no matter what the critics say, that there is one who loves you enough to give his own son to die for you. He loves you, and nothing can separate you from that love. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, there may be some in this congregation who do not know the love, the abiding love that carries us through the trials and tribulations, through the dangers, through the snares. Father, if there's anyone here who feels overwhelmed by the circumstances, may they understand that there is a way to be free. Father, they can't come unless your Spirit calls them. But Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who is not a Christian today, that they will have the boldness, the courage, by the power of your Spirit, to walk down the aisle when we give the invitation and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, there may be many who have previously accepted Christ but have been living a life of timidity, they're timid, they're cowardly. They have been afraid to share their testimony. They're afraid to share the fact that God loves them with anyone. Father, this is a time for us to rededicate, to reenlist in the army of God. And if there are those, Father, then Father, we ask that you would draw them in your net and they too would come when we play the invitation. There are those, Father, who may be here who need to join the church, who've never joined the church, but they know that you've called them to a place to be an edification for that body, to labor with those folks. And Father, if there's anyone here who needs that encouragement this morning, then Father, we ask you to let them know the love that is here for them and that will embrace them if they come. Father, there may be some who have problems in their life that seem insurmountable. They're being kicked out on the street. They're lonely. They're lost. They're homeless. They have all kinds of offenses at their back. They have all kinds of problems that they're facing. Let them know that you're here, Father, to wrap your arms around them and give them peace and joy. Father, this is your invitation. An invitation to life and life abundant. May all who hear the words of your Son Jesus come forward at the urging of your Spirit today. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Would you stand for the invitation? Would you bow with me for the benediction, please? May the Lord bless and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may you have the courage that comes from the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to live a life of victory and spread the fragrance of his love everywhere you go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.